On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Audio Whiplash 61.
Check, check, check it out.
What's it all about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Oh. Disagreeable. I'm talking right over it this time.
Yeah, it's all right. I takes me chances.
Yeah. That's because you jumped the gun anyway. I didn't introduce Rob over there.
I figured they already got that.
Yeah. Big mouthing it into the fucking microphone. Matt over here.
Which is no different than... Oh, sorry, and that's
me. Stop fucking doing that.
That's my beer. Sorry about that.
It takes me a long time in post trying to remove those. Okay, I'm just leaving those ones in, though. It's good listening.
Yes.
What's going on, man?
Loving life. Living large.
Yeah.
Right. You know what? And you'll understand this.
Living large?
Right.
Living double XL.
A large man in a medium shirt. No. Double X man in a single X shirt.
It's getting closer.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Rocking a new hat.
Really? Because you were just ripping on one of my hats out there.
Well, because you like a bunch of shit on your hat, right? Like you like flashy little things. Yours could have came out of, I don't know, a beer case. Does it have a
bullshit?
Does it have a bottle opener on it? You'd like it like that.
I would love it like that because now you just—it's right up there anyway. You're reaching up to the brim, cracking straight down to the mouth.
As you're using the hat to rub your forehead because I've had too much to drink.
I never say that. Well, okay. The next morning, sometimes.
No, and you have, and I know you would appreciate the talk of a new hat because you are a hat guy like I am.
I'm an aficionado.
Okay, simmer down. You are not an aficionado. See, because to me, I like classic, understated. You like...
Something that is not apparent in your personality.
Oh, I'm classic. Don't ever... Not understated.
Not understated.
That's right.
At all.
I'm one of those people, let the personality do the talking. The hat shouldn't be the focal point.
Okay.
Right? So... To me, I can't have. You're one of those people, you don't mind multicolored hats, different colored brims.
Yeah, let's ease it. They're not like 7 or 8 different colors. I don't mind like the logo and the cap in one color and the beak in another kind of thing.
The beak?
The peak.
Okay. Sorry, I see the beak. I'm like, oh.
This idiot.
Exactly. I take it all back. You're a buffoon.
Tell us about your new hat. That's the... We're on the hat hour here on the Tall Can.
Well, because you know what? But anybody out there who loves a hat, right?
Yeah.
Will get it. And so I've been pining. And I've got to a stage in my life where I can't devote. I probably had 50 hats at one point.
Yeah.
Loved the peak cap. Right. So this one is the classic all black, full back, Pittsburgh Pirates.
That is a sharp hat.
Yeah, so it's all black, just the yellow P.
Yep.
The brim is all black.
That's not to say I don't have time for those, right? Because that's classic. That is classic.
Thank you.
Say, it's very similar, and I know you probably would never buy one, but that all black New York Yankee cap with the white logo, that is nothing kind of says summertime, right? Like,
well, nothing says I'm in the Orient quite like.
Okay.
Yankees number one.
Yes. Were you talking at one point, were you not looking at an Athletics hat?
That's my next buy.
Okay.
Right? But it has to be the all Kelly Green.
Yeah.
Right? Both peak and...
See, I think in this scenario, if I'm in your shoes, I'm buying the Pittsburgh hat that you buy, but I'm buying the Oakland hat with the, what is it, gold or yellow kind of peak on it, right? That I don't mind that.
The Dennis Eckersley.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, see, I want the all green with just the big yellow A.
Okay.
Full back, which is with the Athletics in the back, that's what this has, Pirates in the back. And see, you can go with all your late 80s, early 90s wannabe gangster thugs or gangsta with your Jolly Roger Raiders hats, right? That's passe to me. Yeah, the Pirates hat's badass.
It's true, man.
Okay, so I'm loving it.
Yep.
And really,
it showed up in the mail today. Is that why you're
for sure?
Little
And it is
your step.
The fitted, curved brim.
The 3930.
The 3930.
The 39 from New Era is the only way to go when buying hats these days. So I'm especially going, out of New Era.
I want the all black
5950 garbage.
Okay, out see, of and you know what?
Fuck.
So I had to order this. And so, and you and I think have touched on this, and anybody out there who is a hat person, that whatever it is, it's a 50, what did you say?
5950 is 5950. The flat fucking.
And it's a bucket.
Yeah.
Like it's, I have now my dome is not as large as yours. but these things, I swear you could take them fishing and you could boil your catch in the hat at the end of the day. Like I don't like it. I don't like it where it comes right down and it's resting on my ears and there's still like a couple inches from the top of my head to the top of the hat. Like, who's wearing that?
I have less problem with the deep hat than I do with the flat brim.
Okay.
Right. Well, that's just terrible looking.
And so any of your sort of clubhouse or any of those places.
Yeah.
Right, and they say to you, yeah, don't worry about that. We can custom.
Yeah, no, you fucking can't. Right?
Okay.
We can bend that for you.
Yeah.
You can,
yeah, and I'm saying, yeah, okay, that's fine, but I can't get past that bucket.
Okay.
Like the 10-gallon peak cap. Like, who the hell's wearing that, Hoss?
But even once they form that 5950 brim, it's still huge. It's going to come down over your fucking eyes. You're looking out the fucking tunnel. Right?
Okay, like, and this is where, like, Mushmouth from the old Cosby kids. That's no good.
No.
But again, you know what?
That classic 3930 look.
They're not selling, not even to you now, punk ass. You are old man punk in the hat business, right? That's like, even you as your...
Can you... Ease up, even you.
Okay. Well, no, but there's a decade between you and I.
Yeah.
And so clearly, I get it. 40-something guy, you're not.
No.
No. Clearly, I think I am on the front end of that wave, right? Of sort of the guys who wear hats as kids, right? The starter hats that came in that were full back.
Yeah.
Right. Who still wear hats now?
Yeah.
Right. There used to be a time when you would wear it
as
a kid.
Put the fucking hat away.
Then you put the hat away when you get to be in air quotes, people, an adult.
A grown up.
Right. So I think those in your sort of mid-40s are the ones who still wear them.
Yeah.
Right? But so there is a market for that. But really, it is the punk-ass kid who's buying that 5950. And they don't care about me. So you do have to go.
The kid or the store?
The kid at the store for sure doesn't care about me. The pimple-faced guy. I'm like... Listen, you punk ass, nobody's wearing that hat.
Get yourself a 50 mission cap.
This is it, right? Or something, you know, an Elmer Fudd.
Love that.
Do you have a bowler? Do you have a bowler I could have? A top hat like Mr. Peanut? Go fuck yourself.
So at this point, we've spent 9 minutes on hats.
Okay. Anyways.
Probably about time.
Yeah, all right. We can move on.
I'm sure the Pirates hat is great.
Okay. All black Jays hat, too. That's my next.
I've had a couple of those. I've had the one with the all blacked out logo and then the one with the standout logo. Both of those.
No, I'm doing with the blacked out. That's what I want.
Yeah. It's a sharp looking hat.
Okay. Again, understated.
Did you want to? We had a couple of things we wanted to kick around here on this list. One of them, and we can share the article at Tall Can Audio on Twitter and on Facebook, about Trump's fucking golf days and how he's...
You see, I think we should have a segment on each AW, which is maybe called Trump's Dump of the Week. I don't know. Something along those lines.
Only one?
Yeah, okay. Well, and that's the thing, right? Like him saying in a Virginia Beach stop, last year saying, oh, and President Trump, he's golfing. You know, if I was president, I'm working for you. I'm too busy.
I don't have time to golf.
You shouldn't have. There's too many issues, too many pressing issues for the country to deal with. And they're saying in the first month, he's been to his golf courses 6 times. Now, his aides won't say, well,
how many times did he actually golf?
But
holes?
Pictures going out with Rory McIlroy and whatnot.
Prime Minister of Japan at one point, he's got out on his fucking course with him, right?
Right. And they were saying Obama didn't have his first golf game as president till April, late April in that first year.
Yeah.
So he's
Trump's
already
been like six.
He's
times.
Already laying down a wicked base.
Yeah.
Wicked.
And so again, it's one of those things where you're like, this isn't close to the biggest fucking goof up that this moron has done. But it's just another one on the fucking pile where you're like, man, you talk a lot and you
don't
talk
you know
stupid.
That people can just go back yeah. and go like you
hey,
said this
hey,
a month ago.
November 17th, you said this and this, and now you're doing it.
Yeah, but the news is fake.
Yeah. Alternative.
And the leaks are real.
Jesus Christ.
And to me, he may have been elected by the people in some fashion, right? I know it's
some fascists.
But he is like, honestly, it's like he's out to rule in spite of the people, or it's like he doesn't care. Every press conference is combative. It's
do you know Jim Jefferies, stand-up comedian? He's an Australian.
Nope.
He put out a special in the fall, a Netflix exclusive. And he was talking about crazy Americans. Now, he does live in the U.S. I don't know if he can vote. But he's kind of going, this is just getting crazy and it's stupid and whatever. It's obviously before the election. He's going, but there's a small part of you that goes, ah, fuck it. Let's see how crazy shit can get, right? And now here we fucking are. Right? Like, in the first month, we got all kinds of shit just going on that either he's lied about or he's got people resigning or he can't get the
and
NSA.
And he's shouting. People,
yeah. And the news is just out to get me. And for the love of God. He's only calling on people from, like, the most extreme right-wing outlets, which is weird because he's not that right-wing. He's just crazy. Like, that's the whole thing for me is that guy is not a Republican.
No. Well, and Republicans will tell you that.
Yeah. But they're
ooh,
all.
He's not a Republican.
But they're all backing him right now because they have to.
Because they rode to power with it.
Yeah.
And now that I think they'd like to distance themselves from him.
He's just a crazy fucker. He's not like for any party.
Anyways, I am totally intrigued, right, to see how it all shakes out. And so each.
What was the other one? Was it Ernie Els was out with him with the Japanese prime minister? Was that?
I don't know. But
now he's got Rory McIlroy played a few holes with him. Rory says it was 18 holes and his Trump's people go, nah, it was just a couple.
Okay. All right. Well, so because Rory said that Trump wasn't bad, hit an 80.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So which is it? 80 with 18 holes. Pretty sweet.
Yeah. 80 four holes.
80 on 6 holes is shite.
That's not so good.
Which is right in my wheelhouse.
Okay. You kind of start to wonder, like, is he just every weekend he's flying down to his little fucking resorts in Florida and having celebs over to golf with him? And
well, and you know what? I get it. If you can squeeze it in between your pictures with Vince McMahon and whatever else you got going on, sure, man.
Was that not
the grossest thing I've ever seen?
I forwarded, I'll post it again on the Tall Can Audio Facebook page and on Twitter. There's a picture of the entire McMahon extended family with Donald Trump. And they've known each other forever because, well, right now, Linda McMahon is in his cabinet. I don't remember what her position is. But she ran and lost several times for the Senate.
The doomsday clock has just been moved up.
It actually has.
Yes, it
I saw that article last week. But people don't remember, and we won't spend any time on this, but there's been two WrestleManias at Trump hotels. And there was – this was my favorite part of it. It was a quote I stole from someone else. There was only one adult in the photo with the president of the United States who hadn't been stunnered by Stone Cold Steve Austin, and it wasn't the president.
Yeah. Awesome.
He's been too intertwined in that fucking world. Anyway, so just one of the crazy fucking things going on in for those of you
love
wrestling
fans, you know
was
what?
Shane McMahon's wife.
We should be able to touch on Trump every time, too, because honestly, SNL can't be the only ones just totally trotting him out.
I got to tell you, man, there was a point maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago where I was like, we should consider being a Trump-free zone because it's everywhere and it's too much. And it's, but you go, yeah, you know what? You can't ignore it. It's a real thing. It's happening and you can't get worn down by it. And
it's a thing.
The goofy shit that he's going to do, then
you goofy
you don't
shit
have any,
you keep doing?
Yeah.
Stop that.
Oh, just stop it. I wanted to move into – we touched on – I think we were a little behind the initial release when it happened because I think this is a year old, the news. We talked about it last summer. Playboy removing nude photos from their publications. And that lasted
– 1 year.
1 year. Isn't it Cooper Hefner?
Cooper Hefner, yep.
Hugh's son has now
a whopping 25 years old in charge of
pretty big worldwide organization.
Yeah.
He's now moved into a position of power, and he's decided, I'd like to see naked women back in this article.
Okay, Cooper, I'm with you.
Yeah, exactly. Because we talked about this on the show where you go, are they trying to compete with Esquire?
GQ.
Right? Those sorts of things.
Yep, where you're a gentleman's magazine.
Yeah. And you can talk about women, and there are attractive women in it, but they're never naked.
They've also dropped four men from the title too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they said recognizing evolving gender roles.
Okay. Let's not get fucking into that.
Okay. Anyways, the thing is,
the Playboy Mansion has four different.
As we talked about
bathrooms.
It, and he sort of touched on the idea that it's how the women are shot. And he didn't say what that means. Now, does that mean we're going to see more full beaver shots with legs totally spread?
I kind of took it to mean maybe
upright bass being played. Like, what's happening now? Like,
maybe I was almost taking it to mean like more powerful women, right? Like less model, more athlete, maybe, right? Like,
Real woman, like everyday, right out of the.
What message is being sent by these photos? Like, I'm not exactly sure what he's. I think he was just kind of, fuck it, we're going back to.
Right.
I'd be interested to see, and a good host who did a little more research would know what their sales have been like for the last year. I did not look that up.
Well,
but,
and to me, we touched on it. To me, what
things
what,
get touched on when you look at Playboy.
Hey now. What used to be the go-to, right? The original go-to, Gentleman's Magazine, right? Where you could see naked women, right? And you would – and it was highly titillating, right?
It's a great word.
Yeah. And as you progressed into the 80s and you started to get your swank and your hustler and your club and
something
your –
something about swank.
For sure, right? Where there was more – and now, honestly – with the internet,
biggins,
it's full on everywhere, yeah. and it's lost. So I agreed with it at the time. You kind of want to go that.
But that was a hell of a fight to start behind. You had the ones we've referenced here, GQ and Esquire, come to mind first to catch up with them to get into their game. And Esquire already, Playboy already had a readership, but what percentage of that left? When you took those photos out.
Okay, but you would have a 150-page-ish Playboy, maybe 100-page. You would only have three different photo sets of naked women, right? Like maybe you're looking at 10 pages or 15 pages. There was 85% of that was article and ads.
Yep.
Right? So they were – the lure clearly was pictures of naughty bits. But – you know, that market has been filled.
by videos of things being filled.
Honestly, this is it. You're filling my box again. But you know what? Let's be honest. I just today at work handled the newest shipment of Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition.
That time of year.
Man, you know what?
Did you see?
There's some hot.
I meant to forward you this on because.
And if I'm going to look at
hey, let me have this because this is important and people need to know this.
Okay.
Hit your Google machines, Jeannie Bouchard, Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition.
I'm not loving her with all the makeup.
Oh, I wasn't looking at the makeup.
Okay, but yeah, okay. So she's got her arms across. Yes. I looked at her today.
Yeah.
Right. So there was a section. Carol Wozniacki.
Yeah.
Wozniacki.
I think that's right.
Wozniak. Anyways.
Yeah.
She's smoking hot.
Yeah.
Right. Anyways, there's some great ass shots, and I think if you're gonna look at. On a side note, too, did you know Jeannie Bouchard had a twin sister?
Hmm.
Yeah, Beatrice.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Well,
Beatrice is probably 300 pounds.
Beatrice is smoking hot.
Okay. Was she in there too?
No.
Oh.
But get on your Google machine.
Yeah, Beatrice Bouchard.
And so when
it sounds like someone's mom at the bake sale.
Okay, but hey, Eugenie and Beatrice were Prince Andrew and Fergie.
Fergalicious.
Yeah. But their two daughters were Eugenie and Beatrice.
Okay.
So these twins.
Yeah.
Anyways, but Beatrice looks like she's maybe where Eugenie's the athlete. Beatrice looks like she may be more interested in
the model. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see that Jeannie Bouchard went through a week or two ago, paid up on her Super Bowl bet?
I heard they're having a second date.
Hey, awesome. For those of you who don't know, at the time. The Falcons are, during the Super Bowl, beating the shit
out of
the Patriots. Yeah. And so a guy, she tweets something along the lines of, this is over.
Yeah, or, I knew the Falcons, or the Falcons are going to win, or I knew the Falcons were going to win.
And so some guy just throws it out there on Twitter, responding to her and says, Patriots come back and win. We'll go on a date?
Question mark.
Yeah. And she goes, she quotes it and goes, sure. Like, yeah, sure, or something, right? Like it's a fucking throwaway. And all of a sudden, any of you who watch the Super Bowl know, oh boy, like they're marching back. And she puts out another tweet later that just says like OMFG, which for those of you not online is oh my fucking God, right? Like is this? So at the end of the game, she quotes this guy's tweet who had said it to her asking initially, and she goes, so where do you live? So it turns out at the end of the game, she's going to be a good sport, right? And
when she said, and I have no idea because his profile picture is Tiger Woods.
Right. Probably not who she's going on the date with. So he tries to let her off the hook, right? He was just having fun. She was just having fun. And she goes, no, we'll go ahead with it. And it comes out that they went to, I believe it was a Brooklyn Nets game. Yeah. And right after she finished the shoot, I think, for this magazine that we're talking about.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It was a fun story. It's a cool story for him to be able to tell forever. And she was a good sport about it. He clearly could have said, yeah, you know, I'm not fucking doing that. But I hadn't heard they were going on a segue. That's kind of cool. But we're a long way from Playboy back.
The segue was the Sports Illustrated. Yeah. Like, honestly, to me, some of these are not bathing suits. This is Sports Illustrated lingerie.
Yes. Yeah.
Some of these things are the tiniest, and you have them with their thumbs on the sides pulling.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You're not swimming in that.
For sure. For sure. And so all I'm saying is that's really the market, right? If you're looking for your hardcore.
Yeah.
Or you're looking for women barely dressed, to me, at that point is.
Frankly, often more enticing.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is it. And so that's interesting. And I think no matter what they do, I think Playboy's day with Penthouse. Do they even make Penthouse anymore?
I don't know, but that was always – or was it Penthouse or Hustler that was the more
– Hustler
was
Hustler, the more hardcore. Hustler came out of Penthouse.
Okay. But you just – there's no need for it?
Sorry, you said Hustler?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I was thinking of Forum. Penthouse Forum.
Yes.
Which was your letters.
I never thought it would happen to me.
Yeah, but it did.
But it didn't.
Yeah, never.
No, it was it only took them a year to get to we better get some tits back into this thing, right?
To capitulate.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. To me, I think it's just the end of it, right? So
you think they're – because the thing is, I'm not going out and spending whatever – any idea what a Playboy costs? $8?
Probably $8 or $9, yeah.
In public with $8, whatever, when you just pull your phone out and pull whatever else out and get whatever you need to get,
hey,
right?
Like it's, hey now.
Yeah. Where the fuck were we supposed to go next, man? I'm throwing the fucking notes out here.
Yeah, exactly. I got no idea. There was a couple things, right? There was a Drake thing.
Yeah.
In London, which is worth touching on just briefly.
Yeah.
I think where there was an early, like a 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Stop in the bridge. There was a guy in Manchester, I think.
Yep.
Right, who was attempting.
On his Boy Meets World tour. Is there anything
What? It's a terrible name.
Yeah. If you're supposed to be like the biggest rapper in the world, I'm on my boy.
And is he? Or,
don't you think?
Well, I don't know.
I don't really know either. Okay. But Drake is – he's in that upper echelon
well,
for
I hate
sure.
I hate to hate on him, but it seems like more people are pointing fingers and laughing at him than – and I don't know.
Yeah. I think he's probably right now a top 10 or 15 artist in the world.
Okay.
Let us know if you're more into this scene at Tall Can Audio on Twitter.
That's you, Maddie.
But that's a huge name, and we've talked about him before. I think on a show where you're talking more about Madonna, where he had kind of gotten involved with some shit with her. But he's in England.
Some shit.
He's in England, part of his tour, and early morning, he's on his tour bus, and he's stuck in a fucking traffic jam. And there's some guy threatening to jump off a bridge, and he's holding up everybody's morning commute. And so someone from Drake's entourage comes out and goes and speaks to one of the cops. And yeah, you know, we're with this and with that. And if it would help, Drake is willing to come out and help talk this guy down. And there's a little bit of ego in that,
for
right?
Sure.
But at the same time,
is Drake helping you off a ledge?
Drake might make me jump.
This
quicker.
Is it. Like, is that Drake or is that R. Kelly? I'm gonna get the hell out of here.
Is this what my life's become? I got this fucking guy trying to talk me down.
I'm are you jumping. Black or are you white? What's happening here?
Whoops. So the cops politely declined. Yeah, thanks anyway. Drake will handle this.
And you know what? That's the same as when you run to catch a bus and you just get there and the bus pulls away.
Right as you've arrived.
And then you're like, I didn't want that bus really. I just was sort of getting my morning stretch on. Fuck you.
Because as a bus driver, that has to be the only joy you get
for
in your
sure.
day.
Look at that dink. And he's pounding on the side of the bus. No, I didn't really want it.
I'm letting this guy run all the way here, and then I'm slamming the door and pulling away. Right? So, no, that and so the cops are just like, yeah, no, thanks anyway, Canadian rap boy. Right, we'll handle this, and that's really all there was to the story. Was just, can I help?
No.
No, you fucking cannot.
Well, and really, when you get right down to it, what do they want? Him to show up and then maybe potentially exacerbate the situation?
Yeah. Now I'm really – because I don't know this guy. I don't know this situation. But a lot of these types of things are for attention. And now I have a worldwide superstar involved. You want attention, man.
Yeah. I think the police want it. Now, I've been involved in exactly none of these. But
you should consider it.
Yes, I'd be great at it. You know what, fuckhead? Do it or don't.
And all these people, fuck off. They are always jumping in front of trains and holding up traffic. Just stay home. Like if you
suck on the tailpipe of your car in the garage. Well,
hey, now, there's nothing more selfish. Like if you got to check out. But don't hold everyone else's day up over it. Right? Like, anyway.
Fair callous douchebags.
A little bit.
Yep.
I think the last thing we wanted to touch on here was Schwing. Wayne's World.
25th anniversary.
This past week, 25th anniversary of Wayne's World coming out. I was too young. Maybe you remember the sketches on SNL?
Yeah, sure I do.
And that's obviously where this all stems from and whatever. But 25th anniversary of a movie that was kind of thrown together, built out of an SNL sketch, and became kind of this... I don't know, cult classics is probably the wrong one because it was bigger than that.
$120 million grossed.
Produced for $20 million.
Yeah.
Not bad, right?
This just then.
Yeah. All of it created by Mike Myers. Started as a character he was playing in back in Canada before he made it big. a character he continued to kind of develop on SNL.
A little bit of a dirt metalhead.
A bogan, as we a word I've picked up here recently. Dana Carvey, who was the co-star, Garth, in the movie, initially and later on, would kind of want no part of this, right? Like, he was very much kind of...
Well, he was the more established guy on SNL, and Myers was new, and he was bringing in these ideas. And so he had sort of coerced Dana Carvey, who
was... Do you remember, because you read the same article I did, what advice Carvey was given by Myers?
Garth loves Wayne. That's it.
How do I play this character? Garth loves Wayne. Okay.
Yeah, and he's shy and he's creepy. That wasn't any advice he gave him. No. That's how Carvey played it.
Yeah, and he said, I hated that I gave the character an overbite because now I'm doing these long sequences all the time. My face is just killing me, right? Like,
yeah.
But classic stuff, man. So there's an article in Rolling Stone, which we'll share on the social media pages, with I think it was like the top 10 things you probably didn't know about Wayne's World. It was an interesting read, and 25 years has gone by and it's turned into this movie that's still, like, to this day, people can quote and talk about. And the line I always remember, it made me laugh because it was referenced in the article, was when the two guys are laying on the hood of the car with the planes going over or whatever. Were you ever attracted to Bugs Bunny when he put on a dress and dressed up like a girl bunny? For some reason, that line has always...
Because you were.
Maybe a little.
Of course. It's the lipstick, too. I'm not really sure what to deal with that.
And you got this feminine southern voice at that point.
Yeah, well, and then the little tail gives him a little push in the back end, which kind of gives you the whole, I don't know, what's going on, Bugs? We're going to do this?
Bugs getting buggered.
Right. Well, and you got Yosemite Sam there, who's...
Yeah,
cleaning his hair up and giving the whole thing a look. Yeah, I can do that.
Where does that movie stand for you? For me, it is a long time.
See,
not like top five, but it is a personal favorite. If it's on, I will throw it on.
I don't know if I've seen it in 25 years. Right, I saw it in the theaters.
I've got the DVD pack, both of them.
Right? Okay,
it's a two pack.
And so to me, it was. But I never got into that whole swing. No. That whole thing, you know, there was a lot about it that was cheesy
for sure.
For me,
it was, yeah.
I liked it. I liked it just fine. Tia Carrere, I think, was hot at the time.
Yeah.
Right? That's
for sure.
That's a good look for her.
Yep.
What
else is she?
I don't know. Okay. She was in some kind of show where she was kind of like a Lara Croft Tomb Raider, but it was a TV show.
Knockoff, kind of.
Yeah. To me, the Ed O'Neill character who worked at Stan Makita's Donuts, right?
And apparently in Aurora, Illinois now, there's a pop-up. You can go take your picture at
Stan Makita's.
Yeah, Stan Makita's Donuts.
But his character, right?
And
to me,
so good.
They want to talk about all the quotes, you know, and the, you know, pardon me, do you have any great people? But the whole Ed O'Neill thing where they always sort of, it's like the breakaways to him, right? And he's got these like... And he's talking, you know, he has the stream of consciousness thing, and he's saying, I don't know why you can
– why
if you kill a man in battle, you're a hero. But if you kill a man in a fit of passion, you're a criminal.
Yes.
I love that.
Honestly, one of my favorite parts of the whole fucking movie is Ed O'Neill in that fucking – and there's right after that, they're still in there that the camera is now, like you said, doing one of these cutaways on Garth. And he's wicked uncomfortable. And he's just, I don't really talk, but I'll go get Wayne.
Yeah.
You're just like, fuck. The whole thing is just great. But Stan Makita's Donuts as this throwaway reference is just fantastic. Like, clearly, I don't know if it's a knockoff or an homage to Tim Hortons.
Of course it is.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm sure most of the Americans watching the movie, right, had no idea that this was Tim Hortons, Stan
Based
Makita.
On a former hockey player, yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. So it's 25 years old.
But they were saying, and so then it led to a bunch of spin-offs of SNL skits that they tried to turn into movies.
Ladies Man was one.
Pat.
Yeah.
Which I did not know of.
No.
But there was a Night at the Roxbury.
Yeah, and they said that the only one that came close to this would have come out much earlier, and it was Blues Brothers in 1980.
Brothers,
Yeah. Which I had no idea was an SNL knockoff, right?
Yeah, Belushi and Aykroyd.
Right. I've seen the movie, and I knew those were SNL guys. I just never put two and two together. Obviously, I wasn't around watching SNL then.
For sure.
Yeah. But it was by far the most successful of the SNL spinoffs that they ever did. It was also interesting to see see that for the sequel, they were trying to get Nirvana. As the original came out in 92, and Nirvana's doing this
with
thing.
Alice Cooper and yeah. everything was, it was more the metalhead, and then they tried to evolve
yeah.
through the early 90s, 93, 94 into...
And Kurt, I guess, declined, but apparently... allegedly was a fan of the first one. And then there's a line, I guess, in one of them where in was it Heart-Shaped Box where they're playing it off like he's saying, "Hey, Wayne," or something. And apparently that always stuck with Kurt as a hilarious kind of – but he didn't want to do it. And at that point in 93, if you've read Kurt's diaries and stuff, there's fucking guys pretty messed up. So I don't know how that would have gone anyway. But that was – there's just some interesting stuff in this. We'll share it on the social media feeds. It's worth a look. And if you are a fan of the movie, I've watched it probably last summer, and it holds up pretty well, right? Like, it's still just as stupid as it ever was.
It's campy, right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be that way.
If you enjoyed it the first time, you will still enjoy it now, right? And the Bohemian Rhapsody thing was huge. Like, that's maybe the most iconic part of the movie is this these guys in the car lip-syncing along with this Queen song. And everything about it is just kind of stupid.
Well,
but,
and they were saying, and it was that was interesting too, was that caused a huge spike. Freddie Mercury had just passed away
yep.
prior to that.
Yep.
And that caused Bohemian Rhapsody, which I think was released 15 or more years before that,
yep.
to re-enter the charts and peak at number two
yep.
in 92, right? So that's...
Well, I guess, and I don't remember their names.
Brad May and...
Mayday.
Yeah.
Nope. Two of the guys from Queen to send a letter to, you know, whether it was Mike Myers or the movie or whatever, you know. Thanks for putting this back into the public consciousness
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah, well, that's what happens, right?
For sure it is. And the timing of it is interesting because you always see now when a huge artist dies, their iTunes shit goes through the roof, right?
Wow.
But this was long before that. But the movie now took this song kind of by chance and pushed it straight back up the charts and made it a big deal again, right?
Well, because that's such a great tune, though, too. You got a bunch of people in the car and you're – and they're all trying to lip sync it, and they're all trying to do different parts. And
yeah, when they said Dana Carvey didn't even know the fucking words, right, in this
yeah.
article, it was pretty fucking good. He's just trying to flub through it.
Yeah, well, and like anything, right, where you have, and for any of you who are Will Ferrell fans or any of those sorts of things, so much of it's ad-libbed.
Yeah,
right. That it's not even it's not planned. It's not scripted. And you go, I don't know. Okay, this is what we're doing. Just sort of go with
we'll
it.
Just
what do
it.
You
got? Let's see what happens.
And they were saying because there were so many different people who had ideas and wanted to run it, and they tried to run it like sketch comedy.
Yeah.
That they would film fast and dirty, but they would do it, okay, we're going to do it my way, and then we'll film it your way, and then we'll film it Dana Carvey's way.
Yeah, there was one paragraph where they said they did one scene 9 different ways.
And then at the end, so what they were saying, there was a huge sort of fallout at the end for what was a very amicable
production
that at the end Myers was really pissed with the final project because they cut out a lot of what he thought was the funniest stuff.
Yeah, the director has the final say, goes through, this time I took this person, this time I took it, and he didn't love it at first.
Yeah.
And later on they would have some kind of reunion and he would acknowledge that it obviously, given how it's come off and how it's held up over time, that the director was probably correct.
Right? Yeah, but my vision of it was good and right, and maybe yours would have been better.
Yeah.
Right,
so.
But in terms of how, you know, that whole thing plays out,
yeah,
pretty cool.
You should watch it again, though, man.
Yeah, right.
It's pretty good.
You and got it here?
I do, actually. I have it on DVD.
I'll take it with me.
Sweet. That's Audio Whiplash.
Peace out.
We'll see you down the road.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.